How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to Pixelated Thoughts. I'm joined today by Brad. Of course, Brad, wave. Don't make the creepy face, man. Chris is at the bottom because, Jack and Cheat will have a special podcast later. This is going to be particularly just on like our end of the year awards, just stuff we want to talk about gaming wise. It's going to be a fun episode. Me and Brad have been talking about some really dumb topics, and we just wanted to those up. So, to start, let's talk about the best game you've never heard of. This would be like an indie title or something you played this year you think everyone else would not know about. Brad, do you have one in mind right now? Let's see if he actually did his homework.
That no one else has heard of?
That most people have not heard of. Like, if you went on Steam, you're like, what the fuck is this? And Redfall. Don't say Pizza Tower. Don't say Pizza Tower.
Actually, Chris got me onto this one. Diablo 4. No, Halls of Torment.
Halls of Torment.
Yeah.
It's sending out like an overwhelmingly positive though, right? Like something near that.
Yeah. And it might be a little bit bigger than, you know, I thought, but I had never heard of it. And then Chris was playing it and it's like Vampire Survivors, but Diablo-esque.
Right.
Old Diablo-esque, not Diablo 4-esque.
There's a lot more depth to it from what I saw. It's just like,
yeah.
Some of the other action roguelikes I've seen are getting to be like that, where they're just kind of like adding depth. Like you can equip armor, get certain like buffs and debuffs in battle and stuff like that. Is there a story to it or no?
Nah.
No, just straight up.
There's some like side stories.
Okay.
Like many things, just like Diablo 1.
Yeah, you pick up like little lore items. There's like notes that you read, and then you pick up characters and they have dialogue. I'm not gonna say they have like backstories, but
nice. Chris, what do you got? Is it the same thing, Halls of Torment? You're the one that
Say the same thing.
You're the one that got him onto that.
Yeah, so I was shocking.
I don't know if people have ever seen Brad's fucking Steam list, but it's expansive as massive. Shit.
Yeah, so I was I was extremely bored one night, so I went into that Discover thing for Steam, and it popped up, and I was like, $3 or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. All right, I'll try it, and I fell in love with it. So yeah, same answer for me.
Nice. Mine is going to be El Paso Elsewhere. I found that randomly. So like when I heard about it, I saw like it was on Steam and they briefly, you know, how they usually have like certain games you played. So I had downloaded like Max Payne and a couple other things to replay. And then it showed me El Paso Elsewhere. And I was like, it looks like a Max Payne knockoff with like vampires. Turns out that it is like a Max Payne game with vampires, but it's also like a really good narrative tale. It's fantastic. I loved it. I think it only has like 603 reviews on Steam, but it's overwhelmingly positive. Great game. Really liked it. I think if anyone wants to try it, I really recommend El Paso Elsewhere. Let's move on to the best DLC. Let's see, did either of you play any DLC this year? Like Phantom Liberty, any of that type of stuff? No?
So I have Phantom Liberty. I have Separate Ways, but I only watched the video on it. And if I was to take it between the two, as far as like what would interest me, quick thing, let's get through this, Separate Ways would probably take that for me.
You know, shockingly, Separate Ways being $10 and you getting,
right,
you get like 6 hours, you can get anywhere between 4 to 6 hours of content just from the main campaign. And then you can also get, you know, the mercenary stuff added onto it, all the speedrunning opportunities. I think the Resident Evil community was kind of being cheeky and trashing RE3. They're like, I paid fucking $60 for this game, beat it in 4 hours. I got Separate Ways for 4 to 6 hours and, you know, $10, which was, I thought was shocking because Final Fantasy 16's Echoes of the Fallen just came out and that's $10 and it's like 2-3 hours. And outside of like the really cool boss fights, I don't think it adds too much narratively. It's like stuff you've heard before, but it did talk about something me and Brad had discussed, which was like the doors that were just randomly closed off in like the Blighted Land. It answers that question. But it's like really funny. I was telling Brad, I was like, so like you just kind of show up and then you see this spire and you're like, there it is. It's been here the whole time. And I was like, okay, sure. Phantom Liberty, I think, which should be like my number one, just like as an expansion. I want to say like 10, 15 hours worth of like just amazing content. It really changes the way Cyberpunk is played. So if you're a huge Cyberpunk 2077 fan, you haven't played Phantom Liberty, it's fantastic. And then my third would be like Burning Shores, which I think came out this year, like early February. and that's Horizon Forbidden West. That was like, I think I texted you, Chris. I was like, this is the reason we own a PS5. Like straight up. They have a scene at the end of the game. It's the last sequence of the game. Where you fight like one of the big Leviathans or whatever they're all, you know, those big monstrosities. And as it's just moving along, it's like an entire like real time sequence. You're just kind of navigating and shit. I was like, this is amazing. Like you can't run this on PS4. That's crazy. So those are my.
I'll say while I haven't played the DLC for or Phantom Liberty, I have played since the update.
Oh, the 2.0.
They greatly improved the game for sure.
Dude, if imagine, and this is just like, I was talking, but imagine if they had like updated the life paths. Oh my god, that was the one. That was like our own beef with the game. That was like pretty much like my only beef now is like the life paths. But like Phantom Liberty added consequences to a lot of the missions. Brad, DLC, my guy.
Nope.
Don't think too hard, man.
I'm trying to think. I had something. There was something that I bought.
It was probably like Vampire Survivor, like one of the three things.
I did buy that, but I actually haven't played the.
You haven't played the DLC.
I've unlocked one of the characters, but I mean to say that I played the DLC. I take that back. I did do one of the new maps. It's more of like an actual map. Like you have to run around. It's like there's like a mountain. You have to go in the cave and like certain there's just like triggers and like it spawns different enemies and different types. It's actually a little more interesting than the normal just.
Yeah, I think there's most of the horde maps on Vampire Survivors were just like fun to kind of roam around. I think it was the library that was like just straight up side to side, right? Like it was just horizontal the entire time. It was also the easiest to cheese, too. You could just kind of sit there in the middle of the bookcases like you did. Like you survive with all those deaths around you. I think you had like eight around you at one point. I was like, holy shit, this game. So that's it. Is that the only DLC? I'd see you looking up, using your brain.
Yeah, I'm...
We can move on, man. We move on.
We are moving on. What are you talking about?
Also play the new God of War Ragnarok Valhalla DLC. It's free, and it's pretty substantial from what I've played so far. I've done like 4 or 5 runs, and there's like multiple hours of story, which is very surprising. Let's push on to best main character. This one's from Brad. Brad, who's your best main character this year? Don't you do it. Don't you do the Taff from fucking Baldur's Gate 3.
Me in Baldur's Gate 3.
Exactly. I am the main character.
There's a lot of them because, you know, Dave from Dave the Diver. I mean, he was pretty.
The portly goat.
The goat.
From Goat Simulator 3.
But I'm obviously I'm gonna have to give it to Clive just because Final Fantasy. But I mean, I feel like that's one of the best progressive story arcs, character development.
Yeah, I mean, like you go from, you know, you put this out in the video we had for Final Fantasy 16, but it was like everything is seen through his eyes. You started as a teenager, and then you just progress with his character. There's not like a moment I think you really skip, except for the 5-year. You know, push for him as you know, to be Sid or whatever. But I think Clive's a great character. It's good. I mean, it's a good call, you know. Chris, what about you, bud?
I got to go with my boy, Mr. Kennedy.
Because
the dude knows exactly who he is. Everybody knows exactly who that is. Leon knows exactly who he is. Leon Kennedy is, in my opinion, you know, as far as best characters, right? He stays the same. He is an absolute badass.
It's really fun. It's really fun watching him in RE4 in the remake. Yeah. Like I think we both thought that they would take away kind of the charm to his character, like the smartass, and now they kept it.
Yep, they kept it all. And that's what I loved about it. I was gonna go with Clive. I really was. But I mean Kennedy, you know, Leon is just an all time classic great.
Yeah, no, he's fantastic. Brad, did you have like a rebuttal to this?
I have to, going back one category to the DLC, the Mario Kart 8 DLC tracks.
Wait, have you played those?
Yeah, they finally finished coming out. Like, you know, they've been coming out in waves. They finished this year. So,
and that's
really good. Some of them are kind of weird. Like,
are any of them new? Like, not retreads from.
Yeah. there are some new ones. Most, really? A lot of them, most of them are, you know, rehashes from, you know, the 47 different Mario Kart games
from the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
Disrespectful.
But they added some new characters and whatnot. So, I mean, I really wish they would just make a new game.
Well, if they finish up the tracks, I assume that that's probably in the works for the Switch 2. That's hopefully releasing in 2024. We don't know.
Switch X Pro?
The Switch X Pro. I mean, just give us a 4K Switch. Holy shit. That's all we want, man. We don't care. Goddamn. We're running at 720 right now. Like, what's going on here? Mine's Dave the Diver. I love Dave so much because he's just like this random character who's like super... He's very capable for a dude of his size and magnitude, right? The dude's running a sushi restaurant as well as fucking helping this ancient tribe in the water. He's like an absolute beast in everything he does, and he's very funny, and I love his supporting characters as well. But yeah, I love Dave. He's great. Pushing on to best companion and slash sidekick, I want to go with Chris. Chris, do you have a selection here for best
companion? I do.
Side? Who is
and,
it?
And it is Garl from Sea of Stars.
Ooh, yes.
Warrior cook.
I probably should have put that down as one of mine, but
I really enjoyed his story, just his overall character, the heartbreaks, everything like that. Not getting into it, obviously, no spoilers.
Did you get the true ending?
I know of.
Yeah.
I know. Yep. So it. We'll leave that one alone. But yeah, he was one of my favorite, just all around characters. He was funny. He was serious when he needed to be. He was
the actual. He kind of felt like the main character at points in the game. The way he acted, the way he kind of like spurred him on and stuff like that. Like, he was the main character at points. I was like, hell yeah, dude, Garl's the shit.
So, yeah, loved him.
Brad, give me your best companion psychic. This is from you.
I'm gonna go with Torgal.
There you go. I was like, what are you gonna say here? You're the one. I think that's the reason you brought this up was Torgal.
I'm afraid it was going to be yours, so I was trying to think of something else. And outside of Baldur's Gate 3, I don't know if there's any like really major companions that I can really.
I mean, you could consider like the owlbear cub like a sidekick, I guess, because they're just right. They can't.
Little Scratch.
Little Scratch. Yeah.
And
Scratch is great too.
The owlbear. Yeah, I would consider those sidekicks / companions. But outside of that, I didn't want to. I was trying to think of something else because I figured that's who you were going to pick. Unless it's just like Dave's spear gun.
It's Dave's armor, dude. The otaku. The armor. What's crazy in like Final Fantasy, in Final Fantasy 16's Echoes of the Fallen, they have like a thing. So when you're going up to like, Victoria? What was her name? I can't remember her name. Damn it! But pretty much, if you go up to Vivian. Lady, who has what's that? Is it Victoria?
Vivian.
If you go up to Vivian and she has like the actual appendixes out and stuff like that, there's a new thing where you can actually get the thoughts of like the characters on certain things. You can click on Torgal and you can get Torgal's thoughts on like all the main characters and like the events that are happening and stuff like that. He's like, he'll like go to Joshua. He's like, Joshua took me on a long walk, and then we go like to Clive. He's like, he took me on a longer walk. He goes to Jill. He's like, I like her. I've always liked her. And then he clicked on, there's a character. It was Barnabas' sidekick, and he clicks on this character. And this character in general, like, was able to kind of split apart and make multiple characters of themselves. And fucking Torgal's like, this character had puppies. I was like, I love seeing Torgal's thoughts in that. I would also throw in, like, my other favorite character was I played the game Jusant. And this is it's on Game Pass Indie. It's like, I would call it like the actual climbing simulator. You have a walk somewhere, it's a climbing puzzle game. And you get this little blue kind of like water elemental. It's called Ballast. And he pretty much just like is able to, you know, track multiple things for you and stuff like that. And acts as your guide. And it's really funny. It's like when you're trying to have him focus so you can like find something, he like climbs on the top of your head and just like closes his eyes. And you just kind of tilt him around to where he is. So yeah, I love that. Coolest hairdo. This one's another Brad one. All right, let's start with Brad. Brad, who is it? I should have had two. I picked one. Damn it.
I guess I actually wasn't ready for this one.
this guy. He's gonna say me in Baldur's Gate. Yeah.
Well, I was a Dragonborn, so I didn't have any hair.
You didn't need it.
Oh man.
What do you mean you didn't have hair? Dude, you did like 84 campaigns. Yeah. You didn't have a single guy without hair.
I was bald.
It made like a bald monk and shit like that every time. A bald Gith Yankee.
I'm gonna go with Mario in Super Mario RPG. Iconic mustache. Hat.
Right. You know what? We'll take that one. We'll take that as well. Chris, what do you got? I'm assuming it's Leon.
No.
No.
I thought Leon at first because of the RE engine and the way they do hair is just fantastic.
If you've never seen it, by the way, with like your graphics maxed out, I think Capcom has like a new engine for the hair where they can like pretty much do like single strands and shit like that, which is a little bit excessive, honestly. Yeah,
I did keep to the world though, and I went with Luis Serra.
Okay.
The wavy brown hair he has, it looks fantastic.
The luscious locks.
The luscious locks indeed. Especially in that one scene after Krauser, I'll just say that.
Oh yeah. Looks really good. No.
Yeah.
I'm taking Clive. Like, his hair is fucking fantastic, like, the entire time. I mean, the dude's like, it just falls back into place when he's getting into fights. And also, Square Enix, I think, did a really good job of making, just like character models in general, they all look really good. All their hair looks like, you know, really detailed. I just love Clive's hair. At first, I was like Joshua, but he looks like a, you know, short little nerd from like Elden Ring or something like that. And I was like, you know what? Clive looks real good.
I should have said Torgel.
Torgel did have great hair.
So I put this out there because I knew Chris would. So we'll start with worst costume. In my opinion, it was Miles Morales in Spider-Man 2. And he showed up, bro, and looking like a fucking Adidas Colgate toothpaste. I looked at him. I was like, what is this costume? Because like his original costumes were so great. Every costume that Miles Morales has in Spider-Man 2 is fantastic. And then he shows up looking like that. I'm like, bro, no, you look great and everything else. Like, what is this outfit, dude? Like, you look like a reject Static Shock. Like, what are we doing with this?
Yes.
What are we doing, man? Static Shock wouldn't wear that shit. Why are you wearing it? Brad, who had the worst costume this year?
His character in Baldur's Gate.
Just wins all the categories, regardless of who makes them up. Mother Gooseberry from Outlast Trials.
Oh, shit, dude.
her puppet, dude. That was...
Like, the whole outfit, like, so she's a dentist, right? Right? Am I wrong? It's like a dental assistant or something like that? Very disturbing. Like, when you see her costume, like, she's all tattered up, and then she has, like, the it's like her drill on her hand with the little fucking puppet over it, and that shit is terrifying. Yeah. That's a good one. I like that. Chris, who you have for worst costume? Is it Miles Morales?
So it was going to be Miles Morales, right? But I figured that's far too obvious. And then I remembered that and mind you, I understand it didn't come out this year technically, right? Witcher 3, the remastered edition, came out in like January or February or something like that. And I remember there was one particular outfit. It was this black and white with like these poofy shoulders. There are so many cool armors in that game, and I hated that one, but it was so good for the time being. I had to wear it for like 3 hours, and I couldn't stand it.
Super goofy. I think like another one you could throw in, Brad, is was it the Emperor? No. Who's is it Gortash from Baldur's Gate 3? Like his whole like outfit and hair.
He had the cool glove thing though.
But the rest of him looked, you know, yeah, like he dressed himself in the morning.
I saw a Reddit post, and it was like the moment I knew Gortesh was the main bad guy, and it showed the laces on the front of his shirt, and they were like completely random. It was like it would go up two holes, and then there would be one missing hole, and it would go straight across to the hole like below it, and it was like the next one would like loop over it, and he's just like, yeah, chaos.
An absolute psychopath, and I hate it. All right, coolest ride. Because Brad put that in there too. I don't understand it. So I have two of these. The first one's the minecart from Resident Evil 4 Remake, which they expanded upon. That shit was amazing. I loved it. And then it's the roller coaster in Spider-Man 2. I just thought, like, you know, you putting able to put your controller, put your hands up and stuff like that, that was so much fun. I was like, oh my God, it's amazing. Yeah, I know. Like, it's looking goofy and shit, man. Love that. Brad, why did you put this here? What is the coolest ride for you in gaming?
So when I gave you those categories, I literally 45 seconds, just rapid fire, just categories. So I didn't think about any of these. I was just trying to think of things that were not.
This is why we did like this. What we want to talk about. We're talking about the real hard hitting stuff here.
I'm going to go with Halsin from.
What did you just
say? From Baldur's Gate 3. His bear form, you know?
Oh, Lord, man. I'm not even
going to. You go for a ride, right?
We're not even commenting on that one. Jump to Chris. Chris, what do you got for the coolest ride?
Herald of Darkness, man.
Oh, yeah.
And Alan Wake 2. I mean, that in itself, I understand it's not woohoo roller coaster or anything like that, right? But when you think haunted house and stuff like that, it's an attraction. So that's what I thought of when I was kind of reading that. Herald of Darkness from Alan Wake 2.
That's a good one. All right. Biggest plot twist.
Okay. Wait. I want to say the broom from Hogwarts Legacy. I thought that was one of the coolest parts of the game, was literally just flying around.
It did work out. We should also, you know, we're going to give Hogwarts Legacy a little bit of love here too, because no one talked about that fucking game at all. It's the most Google search game this year, right? Correct, Brad?
And yeah, it was the number one
Google. Not a single nomination on anything. I think it's going to be a couple of people's personal game of the year.
Yeah. And I mean, I know there's some controversy around, you know, Harry Potter in general. J.K. Rowling's, yeah. The game for like serious gamers, you know, it was a bit shallow. A lot of the systems, a bit of repetitive, you know, objectives. But as far as like licensed material, like, I think that's a gold standard.
100%.
In creating 100%. The world. So yes. I don't think it gets enough love just for what Portkey Games did.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that. Well, he actually added something to the thing. Biggest plot twist, but we... Okay, so what's the biggest plot twist in gaming?
Without revealing the plot twist, without by revealing the way. The plot twist.
Fucking... You know what? I think there's a good one. I think there's a good one. I think honestly, for me, it was probably in like... Was it Dave the Diver? I think it was Dave the Diver. There's like a whole thing there that I thought was like insane. That kind of blew my mind through the game when I was playing. I was like, why is there so much depth to this shit? But yeah, that's for me. Brad, what's the biggest
He's part? Actually a shark in a diver costume. It's actually in Baldur's Gate 3. Something happens. Something is revealed in Act 3. If you find it. There's obviously you could skip everything in Act 3, but in Act 3, there's something that's revealed, and you're just like, okay, then. All right, cool.
Okay.
That changes, like, it changes your like, reality of the entire game up to that point.
All right. Chris?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Saga Anderson's family.
Just
in general. Yeah. Because there's a lot of subtle things in there that they don't even really come out and tell you. And then some of it that, yes, obviously some of it they throw in your face, like, I'm your grandfather, you know, stuff like that. But overall, I think that was my favorite plot twist, so to speak. It's not really a plot twist, but, you know, without saying anything, without being able to say anything.
You can't say anything. That's it. Enjoy looking for those. The villain you most agree with. Brad, you could start with that one. Like, what do you got?
Pretty much all of them in all the games.
I mean, not all the villains and stuff like that. I think, you know what's crazy? I made a joke. I was like, Venom would probably be the one character. I'm like, you know what? He's kind of got a point. Like, we're all pretty fucked up. And who doesn't want to be more together with everybody, right? So that big-ass social experiment. Was it the Fleshmancer? I actually kind of, like, saw some of the shit he was saying in Sea of Stars. And I was like, you know what, dude? Mm-hmm. He's kind of got a point in some of like how fucked up certain things are and how you want to change certain things and how it's just this one big messed up cycle and, you know, nothing you can do to stop it. I was like, you know what? That guy's pretty badass. He's got some pretty cool ideas. Chris, who do you got?
Well, it kind of goes along with what you were saying, but not Sea of Stars. I'm actually going with AC Mirage. And instead of a person, I'm going with the Templar Order. Particular to that game, I thought they made a lot of good points where it's like, I kind of get it. I get what you're coming from.
It's weird because as soon as you go through like Assassin's Creed games, you kind of fucking agree with like how the Templars acted, honestly.
In some regard,
yeah.
Especially in Mirage.
Yeah. They were kind of.
Well, right. I don't agree with their tactics.
Like, no, 100%.
Slavery and stuff like that. But as far as their overall goal of. Trying to bring peace to stop this, you know, ceaseless violence and stuff like that. I'm kind of on board with, and I get.
I agree with that. Surprisingly, that type of depth came out of an Assassin's Creed game, because usually it's like, do you see Basim? You got to
do some digging, man.
You see Basim? Like, do you want to play as the bad guy or the perceived antagonist? Like, this is the dude. Like, I'm like, dude, no, I don't want to play that. Fuck, goddamn.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the best sci-fi exploration game that is still not Starfield. I mean, it's clearly No Man's Sky, right? Like, I have never seen, like, outside... Like, so what happened with Cyberpunk was insane, right? Let's talk, like... But they were kind of... They had their arm twisted. The pressure on them was incredible. With, like, Hello Games, it's, like, their second game ever, I think they've made... Probably one of the most ambitious titles ever. And every single year they have added to it and have kind of nailed procedurally generated content. And so if you watch the Game Awards, regardless of how you've thought about it, when Hello Games talked about, you know, their new title, it looked like Light No Fire. That might be my most anticipated game of like all fucking time right now. I am so excited for it because Hello Games has had all this time to build No Man's Sky to the point where it's like, here we go. Like, now it's like real in-depth space exploration. If you have not played the new update, they're all fantastic. I'm shocked that the game has been going on for now 5 years-ish, right? A little longer than that. And they completely turned it around, which I'm not gonna lie, blew my fucking mind. Brad, do you have a best sci-fi exploration game in mind that's not Starfield?
I mean, it didn't come out this year. I think it actually, the like definitive edition came out on some platforms, but you know that one game by Obsidian, totally blanking on the name right now.
The Outer
Outer Worlds.
Outer Worlds.
They came out with the definitive edition, I think, on the Switch or something.
It came out on consoles. So PS5, Xbox Series X. If they came out on the Switch, I don't know why you do that to yourself. Just stop releasing ports on the Switch.
I'm pretty sure it was like stream only or something.
Just stop doing it. Every time they've done it, it's been terrible. We could do like a whole thing like worst Switch port, and that would be like Mortal Kombat 1. That shit looks fucking awful. Chris,
I didn't think of that one.
Chris, for best sci-fi exploration game, do you have anything?
I don't really have anything as far as exploration goes, but I will say the closest I probably get to that is the Ishimura.
Oh, yes. Space. I wanted to do a best remake category, but I mean, we'd probably all say RE4, but we could all talk about it. I mean, so Dead Space, so for those that have not played it, it greatly expanded upon the original game, especially the way you do gravity, the anti-grav sections, which, you know, at first you'd probably be... You know, saving yourself, it's probably going to be frustrating, but they did it really well. And some of the things you get to see when you're outside are kind of breathtaking, especially the care that the development team took. Because I'm not going to lie, I think me and Chris, we were super skeptical about Dead Space Remake, right? We're like, oh, we don't know, man. And they fucking knocked it out of the park. Visually, the sound design, all that stuff. Whatever its nominations were, it 100% deserved it. So... I agree with you. I think that, like, you know, you did do some exploration because you did leave the Ishimura and you landed on a planet. So, you know, nailed it.
It's not your typical, like, you know, Fallout or Outer World.
Outer Worlds.
Outer Wild. I keep
Outer Worlds. Outer Wild is another game.
Yeah.
Right.
Fantastic.
Game. Right. You know, so I understand that it's, you know, it's not Starfield, you know, but
nothing is, brother. Like, yeah. According to some Bethesda fans, nothing is.
Right.
Let's talk about the best game that got canceled or delisted. For me, it's Multiversus. And I say that because they delisted. So the game came out last year. They delisted the game June 2023, I think, around that time frame. Kind of frustrated a lot of people because I think what's there with Multiversus was really impressive. Me and Chris liked playing the game in the short time we did play it. I think that, yeah, I mean, what was shocking was how quickly they dropped it. But like those types of games, to me, kind of gave hope that like a lot of like the upcoming fighting games that will be free to play may have like an opportunity to be really good. And it got delisted. I know it's coming out April 2024. It's going to reemerge. I wonder what they're going to add to it. But honestly, it was the one game that like I was like, dude, this game was hitting like eights and nines on their reviews. Like people had were just saying glowing things about it. The problem is like fighting games are niche and they're really hard to get into like an actual player base to. Yeah. You know,
it was the closest thing that I played that was close to Smash Brothers.
Correct. 100%.
You know, so
yeah, Multiversus, like that broke my heart a little bit. I was like, oh no, they fucking took it away.
Brad just finally got good with bugs too.
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you, man, shockingly, the characters had some like nice depth to them. You had good team synergy. I was super surprised that the game just kind of like, you know, fell off. I was like, yep. Who gives a shit, man? You're gonna get your community back anyway. But hopefully, what they put in 2024 is big, and hopefully, they don't go all in with DLC and shit like that, or
right,
you know, microtransactions, which is probably gonna be the case knowing WB. Brad, do you have a game?
Yeah, I got several actually.
For best game that got canceled or delisted, what is it?
I can't tell you. I mean, that
was. Yes, you can, motherfucker. That's the point of this goddamn episode.
Knockout City.
Man.
Yep.
Man. What? Dude, that made me sad as shit.
They were just like, it's over. It's done.
It made seven seasons, though, right? Just about. So.
I think it was seven. Yep.
What was that wrestling game? Rumbleverse. Did you guys ever play that? Oh, my God.
I didn't play it. I know what you're talking about.
Polished game. I don't understand. Like, Epic was like, here you go, guys. All right, fuck this game. I mean, dude, Ubisoft is keeping Roller Derby alive. I don't know how that's possible right now. Like, I thought that game was dead. It's in, like, its seventh season or something like that. Unbelievable. What else, Brad? What else we got?
The Gundam. Like, the
Gundam one that I couldn't play because I couldn't log on? It's gone?
Yeah. Was it that one?
That was out for like a month, right? Like it had like a couple months steam.
I completely forgot. I got my ass beat in it. I remember that.
Shocking. It kind of sucks like because it's the reality of it is that if you don't get that attach base like super quick, if people aren't latching onto the game, it just essentially dies so quickly. And it's very, very tragic.
There was one other one. Sorry. There's another one. I was trying to find it. I'm blanking on the name of it.
I wanted to be like an Ubisoft game so bad, but you know, they actually save their titles, honestly, at times.
No, they just kill all their old ones that, like within the same month. They're just like, all of these servers are offline.
And they delisted, I think, one of the Splinter Cell games. I think it was, or they tried to delist, and then people freaked out because they're like, I bought this shit. What are you doing? You have anything else? You have another game? Because me and Chris, I'm pretty sure Chris is as Multiverse as like me.
Oh, it was Babylon's Fall, but I mean, no one really cared about that one.
Which one?
Sorry, Babylon's Fall. But no one played
that. That was like the worst game that got canceled. We'll talk about that next. Chris, what do you got?
So I was gonna go. All right. So starting this whole thing, I knew that Brad and I were gonna have a lot in common, right? Mm-hmm. With Halls of Torment and all that stuff. And I had Knockout City in there, but I had a backup. My backup was, and it hasn't been canceled yet or delisted, Friday the 13th. Rest in peace.
Technically, it's dead. Yeah. I think it's only being kept alive by like mod servers and stuff like
that. So I think from what I recall reading about it, they're taking down the last servers December 31st. And after that,
tragic.
It's well, basically
I
mean, dead.
I don't know if they've done any updates to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but that game's really good. If you haven't played it, you know.
I believe it's the same team, right?
I think so.
I believe it is.
But like, at least maybe this time they didn't fuck up the licensing, which was like the one thing that you don't fuck up on when you have like these type of games.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what happened Friday the 13th. Like, their license expired and they went,
meh. Yeah, we're
still moved on.
Yeah. Jesus. All right. So, all good choices. Brad, thank you for bringing up all those other games. Made me sad. Also, let's talk about The Cycle. That game was pretty good, and then it just died.
That was the other one.
Holy crap.
The Cycle died as well, which was also sad. I actually remember when Brad brought it up to me. He's like, yeah, it used to be Battle Royale, then it became an extraction shooter. And we played a couple games. I was like, it's not bad. It's pretty polished.
Brad and I played it, twice when it first came out?
Yeah.
At like 5 in the morning after getting off work.
Yes.
It was all right. It was pretty good.
So let's talk about the worst game that got canceled. I have an easy one. Brad and I, we both played the day before. It's low-hanging fruit. Let's call it what it is. The day before was a shit show. Brad says it's not a scam. I honestly think it is now because of the way Developer Fantastic kind of went about it. Like, Brad, did you see what like the shit that like the devs actually put out? Where they were like, oh, it's our first time making a game.
Yeah.
So, Chris, if you don't know, the day before was supposed to be...
It's not the first game, though.
Yeah, it's not. It's supposed to be a survival MMO, and it's set like in a post-apocalyptic world, right? That's what it was supposed to be. That's what it was marketed as. If you went on the day before's YouTube page, they actually had like a bunch of their trailers, and it was like really hyping up the game, right? And it looked like one of those games that, you know, ultimately was too good to be true. And then they put out a new... like a couple new trailers before release, and it became like an extraction shooter. So they completely bait and switched everybody. And then servers came out. Me and Brad put a video out about it where it was like, we had an adventure trying to get in, couldn't get into the servers. And when we tried to get in, we were getting like glitched out of the very first cutscene of the game. Brad gave up on it because he just couldn't stop falling through the floor. I played about an hour of it and wanted to absolutely just beat the shit out of someone for whoever made this game. We got the basic thing was, which you need to know is, we got refunds for the game faster than we got into the servers. Like, the game was an absolute mess. Everyone's been making a number of videos for it. It's just great content because they're trying to say it's not a scam. 1000% it was. Like, we're talking broken. Like, their Discord was so messed up. Like, Brad ventured into the Discord to see what it was like.
That was absolute cancer.
And it was an adventure for Brad. He was like, what the fuck am I looking at right now?
Was that the game where you guys got soft locked in the hallway?
Yeah, that was me.
Okay. So it started off as the most wishlisted game on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
And then the devs were asking for volunteers to help build the game, essentially. Yeah, they were like, we don't want to pay you, but we want you to have some experience developing the game. And then that kind of died off a little bit, and then just kind of went into obscurity for a while. And then it finally came back that a lot of their trailers were like shot for shot remakes of other games, like
Modern Warfare 2
or Call of Duty, or like some of the screenshots were like the exact different poses and stuff of different games. And then it came out that they were actually just using asset packs from the Unreal Engine store. They were just like buying asset packs and then flipping them.
Which, by the way, that's okay if you do that, but they weren't honest about it. They weren't transparent about the process.
When they put out a bunch of the day before the game releases, they put out like a large message saying, hey, just to let you know, we are not scamming you. Please don't say we're scamming you. We worked really hard on this for 5 years. So for all the people that are going to play the game, the people that are going to stream the game, just to let you know, we're not scamming you.
The amount of defiance in that statement alone made me believe that you were scamming me. You were scamming me. Scammers say that shit. So yeah, they got crushed.
Totally not scamming you.
Yeah, so they got crushed 100%. So that's my
worst. Let's go to Walmart and get $500 in gift cards, please.
Exactly. Yeah. That's essentially what it was, dude. It was really crazy because you go into the world and like the sound design was all over the place. So like you wouldn't know that zombies were like appearing behind you. You thought they were to the left of you. Like it was supposed to be like one of those moments where it's like instance, like the division where like you could like run into other people and stuff like that. But you really couldn't. Like I was like looking, I like literally have like footage of me like running and I'm like, where the fuck are these gunshots? I'm like running toward it. I'm like, I kept running right. I'm like, I don't see this person. Like it's just someone shooting. So I'm assuming they're in the world shooting at zombies, but I just couldn't see them. That's how bad it was.
from what I'm understanding, that's literally just ambient sounds. Like they included shots in the city or in the sounds of the city to make it sound like things were happening. When the game released, there was like a max population of like 4 zombies per horde. There's a max capacity per server of 32 players. They only had 150 servers, so they could only support like 4,800 players. But at release, like the peak was like it was like 48,000 or something.
I love Chris's face all the time. It was like, they're mathing. The math, big dog.
It was like, it's crazy because like you were the most wishlist game on Steam. How could you not expect that? For one, your MMO servers only support 32 players per server. And two, how you not have like 400 servers if that's, you know, the case.
Absolutely.
Was it 32 players total or was it instanced within server?
No, it was like 32 players per server.
From what I read, like
Battlefield has more than that.
Yeah,
is Battlefield an MMO?
Right, it is now.
That's the thing. Yeah. So that's the thing. And then like if you logged off of a server, if you didn't join that server again, you lost that you lost all of your progress on that server because you're going to a different server. There was no melee.
When there was melee in the trailers, like in the gameplay trailers, there was melee and there was no melee. It was insane.
There were no floors.
The UI was pretty much stolen from like Arma 3. So like any type of like PUBG type stuff. If you've ever seen like, you know, the interface, like that's essentially what it was.
Okay.
It was the most lowbrow effort I'd ever seen.
And then 4 days later, the studio just says, hey, we no longer exist.
Yeah, they canceled.
The CEO deletes all of his profiles on every social media. The mods on the Discord were like, hey, just to let y'all know, we're not part of the dev team. They actually duped us too. They've not spoken to us in I don't know how long. The fact that we've been giving you false information is because we were out of the loop as well.
I feel so like here's it's legal.
Yeah. So they were like, it's great.
It's a fucking scam.
The Discord moderators were like, here's a link to refund the game. Y'all have a good one. Everyone's out. So they deleted all of the channels except for one voice chat and one text chat. And so it was like 300 people unmoderated in one voice chat, and I hopped in there and it was just a bunch of like hentai and like Nazi videos and like swastikas and people just shouting very inappropriate words.
I mean, I don't think
I'm not laughing at that, by the way. I don't think
I've ever seen anything like that. That's like, I'm like, dude, we got so much drama at the end of the year. It's so juicy. It's so good. It's just good content, man. I want to see thousands of videos. I want to see the documentary on it. Right, someone's gonna make a documentary online, dude. I'm hoping it's like, I hope it's like Mudahar or something like that from like Ordinary Gamer or somebody. Just absolutely make a documentary on the day before, please. I just want to see it. Brad, is there another? Because Chris already told me like he didn't have one for this, so he's.
Well, no, I have some for this.
I'll
have some for later. Yeah, and it's not even really a game, but you know, let's pour one out for Google Stadia.
It was the worst thing that got canceled. That it did held on for too long. It did.
It's Stadia, crazy how long it
the
did.
The Stadia held on for so long with like literally no exclusive games. That is mind fucking blowing to me. Yep. Mind blowing that they could do that. Yep. Props to them for like trying their hardest to like try to have you buy in. And they're like, listen, and they hired like a former executive at Microsoft to help run it. And it still bombed. But like, I mean, that goes to show you, right? Like if you're going to have an exclusive product for streaming. And by the way, I also think the Stadia is ahead of its time. I did. Being able to play anything on your browser, regardless of like platform, it's fantastic. But if you don't have anything exclusive that's going to draw people to it, like it's gaming, dude, you should know better.
I mean, you have Nvidia, who probably does it better than you did.
Well, I mean, the GeForce thing is like it's great because you could just play. You're streaming, you know, with decent internet, 60 frames per second, 4K games or some shit. Like you're playing Cyberpunk. That's amazing. Like that one commercial that was so stupid to me where they're like, we brought all these gamers together and like, you know what you're playing? You're playing a Chromebook and they put it inside the desktop.
Right. I'm like, dude, that thing's melting.
The tower? I'm like, nah, dude, that thing's burning to death right now. Put the mic up next to the tower. I better hear that bitch screaming right now. Right. Like,
you know, to me, right, just, you know, shout out another YouTube channel, right, Skillup. If Skillup is sitting there oh man, this NVIDIA thing is awesome. I believe him. Yeah, I've never used it myself, but
Brad used it. Didn't you use well, GeForce?
Oh, or, I have in the past, yes.
Yeah, it's great, yeah. dude. Truly.
Not like long term or anything, but I have used it and it's nice.
Brad, you wanted to talk about Babylon's Fall. You didn't even play the game.
I didn't.
It
was on the list.
I played it. I played the closed beta twice for it. Came away like they better add more content. They never did. Here's what's shocking about it. It's made by Platinum. Platinum fucking yeah. games. Okay.
Fortunate.
What the fuck, man? It's like Redfall. Like Arcane. What the fuck are you doing? Same thing with Platinum. I was like, why? Holy shit.
You have to make sure to say it's Arkham Austin, not Arkham. Yeah.
Leon.
Leon.
Okay, I was like, look, because people were talking about Blade, because Blade got announced. I was like, listen, guys, it's Arcane Leon, right? It's the big boy studio, right? Like, we should be okay if they don't fuck this up. God, I hope not. Let's move on to the biggest drama of the year. We just talked about the day before, which might be the biggest drama of the year, but I have another one, and that is the completionist charity fraud, which, listen, I know that he's put out a statement saying he put out 600K, but if you actually watch the videos that were put out by original gamers, Mudahard and Carl Probst, right? If you actually watch those videos, there are times when the completionist, when he's talking about these charities, he actually mentions them by name. He mentions them by name, that they're supporting them, that they're one of the biggest donations, right? By definition, you cannot do that to solicit donations if you do not actually donate to that charity. That is by the law, that is fraud. Hmm. I don't know. Chris probably doesn't know much about this. You don't know much about
it. Well, no, I know enough. Now, obviously, I don't know anything about the verdicts or anything like that. He hasn't been charged with anything.
No.
Whatever.
There's been multiple videos that pretty much like they're so what Mudahar does, what original gamers does, or Ordinary Gamers does, is that he pretty much every year will take a look at like certain charities or certain things that like are questionable in terms of like how they earned money, you know. And with the completionist, I think it was more like he was interested in the charity itself and then looked at, and someone had brought up to him like, look, man, there's money's not going anywhere. And for 10 years, the money didn't go anywhere. Didn't go to any, you know, charity at all. And they just continuously had these different like fundraisers. And the thing is, as Brad put out to me multiple times, he doesn't think the completionist did something malicious, right? But to not do anything with the money for 10 years, to consistently say you're doing something, even if you're like, I'm doing research. I'm like, my man, it's not good optics. And regardless if like he did not do anything, let's say illegal, like it's immoral to hold that money because the value of that money did decrease like over time.
Gross negligence.
Yeah, it's gross negligence. And to say that you're like, you know, being supported by like the San Francisco hospital or like that, I think they're actually like an actual foundation in San Francisco for dementia, and then not actually donate the money and like soliciting like, you know, money from people. That's to me, I'm like, come on, man. Like you can't do that and then sit there and be like, well, I had to do my research. Like
his mother had dementia, right?
Mother that's had why they dementia. Created yeah. And, right. and she passed away from it. But like right. all everyone was saying was
super,
like
super strange thing that he did in his super strange thing he did in his like apology or his response was he copied a link to his mother's autopsy.
Super or like strange.
His donation of her spine and
spinal cord. That was super weird.
I'm like, no one's questioning whether your mother died from this.
Like we're questioning whether or not what you did with the money and why you kept it for 10 years. And even though we said he found out, I'm like, you've known for a year now, and yet you've still solicited from your viewers and you still didn't actually donate to the charities you talked about. Guys, that's fraud. That's like simple fraud. Like seriously, I can like call my buddy up. He's an attorney and be like, "Hey man, define fraud for me for charities." And he'd be like, "I got
is that fraud? I mean, he has to claim it on his taxes, right?
No. It is by donation. If you are soliciting for charities and you do not donate to those charities, but you solicited for those charities and because that's what everyone's saying the donations are going to, and you did not donate toward it, that is fraud.
I wonder what the time limit on that is,
dude. I don't know, but 10 years, 30 days,
or yeah. Well, I mean, 10 years for sure, but recently a year.
Because like in his apology video, he goes like, oh, I'm sorry for implying this. And I'm like, brother, like you didn't imply it. You said implying. That shit. Right. Like you said you donated to these people. These were partnered with you. So where'd the money go?
Mudahar's response to his response was a good video as well.
Super brutal.
Like he very specifically was like, all, you know, the Twitch donate or Twitch donations, Twitch YouTube. Bits,
yep.
subscriptions, all that. He's like, any money that, of that goes straight to the charity. We don't touch any of it. He says this during the live stream of the charity event. And then in his response, he goes, just to let you know, some of those bits or subscriptions or donations went to the offset of the production. And like, they were played right next to each other. And it was just like, all right, now that's like the complete, that's like that's not even like questionable. That's just like the opposite.
I mean, let's be real about it, right? That's the drama. And it all came at the end of the year. So thank you. Thank you to the completionists. Thank you to Mudahar and all them. You know, we really needed that drama. And next to the day
Carl
before.
Carl Jost.
I thought it was props. It was probably Carl Jost. But I was like,
I don't,
you know, and then of course, Brent sent me like the thing where it showed like, the completionist's face at the beginning of the apology video or the explanation video, where it looked like he was like doing the sad, tragic, you know, gamer face, you know, apology. And then he got mad and said, I'm going to sue. And I'm like, here's the thing for anyone out there. The moment you sue somebody, just know that there's a discovery phase. So everything that happened, everything that's being questioned comes to light, and you don't want that because that can absolutely bite you in the ass. So just make sure that when you throw the term sue around, just know that what it entails is pretty, pretty bad. You get a lot of dirt.
He said
on
legal
you.
Proceedings.
Okay. Yeah. No, he said that's suing.
Oh, okay. Oh. Yeah, it was just funny. It was just like, he was like very apologetic, and there was a lot of like lawyer speak in there. He's like, it was very, a lot it legalese, was very evident. Yeah. He was told to say like specific lines.
Here's your plan statement. Do not deviate then, from this shit.
And then it was like something snapped, and he was like, and for the people that are accusing me of these crimes, I am looking at legal action because
I'm knocking slander. On the door.
And I'm like, dude,
double A12s with like, a switch on.
I was like, dude, do you want to alienate the like 10% of, you know, your viewers that still actually believe you?
But, well, you know. If you do believe it, if like, I think Asmongold had a video and he was like, yeah, I watched it and I was like, holy shit, that's fraud. I was like, dude, no, it's like literally the definition of it. It's funny.
I saw it. Yeah. I was on the Reddit. It had that picture and he had a Word document open and it literally just said, where was the money for 10 years? that's the only statement.
That's basically it, dude. Right. Where'd the money go? If it just sat there, I mean, like I get it, but you know, money does depreciate.
Right? I'm sorry. Why did the money sit there for 10 years? Why did the money sit there for 10 years?
I want the documentary on that as well. That'd be fucking amazing. Oh, good drama. All right. Let's move on to something, I guess, a little more lighthearted, least repetitive sports game. If there is such a thing.
Well, hey, are we going to ignore
thousands
of employee layoffs?
Oh, shit. That's right. Can we not Blizzard do sad and drama? Like, what
the I fuck? Just want to get it out of the way, man.
That's really not the biggest drama. That would just be like the saddest thing that happened.
So I just want to point this out because I don't want to upset too many people. And the three of us were obviously, you know, literally on the very, very outside of gaming. But a lot of these companies who are laying off people, I'm assuming, you know, it happens all the time in private companies. Nothing you can do about it. And I do think that it's kind of weird that in what is essentially the most profitable year in gaming that you would see this many layoffs. My assumption is this. I think a lot of these people who were, maybe the people who were hired, were more than likely hired during a project and are being let go because project's over. More than likely, like certain things went over budget. These individuals were kind of just sitting there waiting in the winds, like doing, you know, being pushed around for as different resources and stuff like that. And then eventually just got found out during an audit that, hey, we still have these people here. Do we still need them?
I get that if contractually you were brought in, we're building this game, you've done your job, go home.
That all depends on like how all that was set up. So if they're set up as like, if they're at will employees, if they are contractually, you know, just there, they're at will. So it doesn't.
However,
there's nothing to do. Now, I think that the way now before, you know, let me just say this, like I do think that some of the way they're being let go is fucking harsh. Like especially Bungie, like the way Bungie has let go of people, like Bungie is like seriously fucking people out of like severance packages, and I think like stock, like all that stuff. Like they've completely fucked some of these people because, you know, a lot of people are living check to check. So the fact that, you know, Bungie and Activision, these billion-dollar companies, weren't more attentive to what the overhead cost of a project should be, which is like one of the first things you should pay attention to, blows my mind. It's incredibly fucked up. And I think, like, you know, unfortunately, because of the way gaming is, you know, technically it is really, it's really just a bunch of project cycles, right? 3 to 5 years. And then, you know, within that time
frame. And I totally get that. I'm mostly looking at the main perpetrators, the Bungie, the Activision Blizzard, the Epic Games. Epic Games let off almost, laid off almost 1,000 people.
I mean,
they're a big company. I get it. I get it. But like, okay, there was one guy, and I'm paraphrasing, and someone in the comments is going to be like, oh, that's that guy. But he used to work at Activision Blizzard, and he went over to Amazon. And he goes to Amazon, and he goes to his boss, and he's like, I feel like I'm not doing enough. Am I fucking up? Like, I really feel like I'm doing really bad at my job. And the guy's like, take this day off, take this day off. Gave him a 4-day weekend, no PTO, nothing like that. And the guy came back and he's like, you know, what's going on? And he's like, you were overworked at Blizzard for so long, you don't know what a real job is anymore.
Well, that's what and then they lay him off. Which is shocking at Amazon, because Amazon fucking overworks everybody.
I think it was Amazon. I'm
but like, if but, I that, remember, but that's remember. The thing though, game development is should be unionized, right? But all of it's at will employment. Like I highly doubt, unless like you're in an executive position or a management position, senior supervisor.
I think
type
every
of stuff.
Dev, I think every dev should go independent.
I get like when Larian. You are someone like Devolver, says. Right? Which Devolver is a larger company now, right? But you know that for a period of time they were almost seen as like a startup, right? When you compare them to something like a Bungie, right? Bungie can let people go. And they work this 9-to-5 and they do their job, and contractually you have completed your task. Thank you for being here. Have a good one.
Yeah.
The startups, right? We didn't make enough money. Well, peace.
Yeah, which we
sorry,
tried.
Bro, it didn't work. We and, tried. And I mean, it happens, right? But then you have companies that are in the in-between, such as your somebody who's working customer success at Epic Games, right? And they're let go because, frankly, we don't need you anymore. And that's the end of the story.
Well, that's what I was trying to say. Like a lot of these companies, I feel like they are kind of misappropriating like where their HR is, like what the direction is of their organization. And they're probably overhiring, right? And then they don't have people who are actually doing work or something. And then they just fucking, you know, or they have people doing work, or they're having them like task on. They're trying to like do, you know, it's just the way that games are developed frustrate the shit out of me, because project management should not see crashing so much. You shouldn't see so much crunch, right? Because what's essentially happening is that they're taking some of these tasks that you consider important, like QA stuff, and they're just like fucking slotting it over stuff and just crunching and crunching, and they're taking resources and reallocating places. So there's probably all this chaos that shouldn't be there if like these people had project managers to keep this on track. So essentially like what I saw with that, it was like the, so I'll give a good example. It was like the Days Gone, the devs over at Sony Bend. Basically, if you look up the development history of the game, right, the game, like Sony gave them, like they expanded the studio 3 fucking times because they were, 1, over budget on the game, and then 2, they weren't close to completion, right? So they expanded it 3 times. Like, if I bring on essentially what I'd call temp resources to help you develop the game, once that's done, I'm looking to probably keep the core of the staff and then remove almost everybody else, right? But that needs to be... explicitly told that, like, you know, you're here in this position, just know that it is a temporary position.
Not you are contracted.
Yeah, you are contracted, right? You're at will. Yep. So that scrutiny is there, but like, it's, you know, once again, I understand frustration, but like,
I totally get it. I just, yeah. You know, it is a major part of unemployment in this industry.
Oh yeah. It's literally just like the fault of the HR, it's the fault of the organization. Like I'm telling you, like the people at the top of some of these companies, the executives, the C-suite people, they're so out of fucking touch with like what the needs are that they're probably sitting there like, let's just throw bodies at it until it gets fucking fixed or something. Like they're the military, and unlike the military, when we get pushed to like maintenance company or some shit, they're just like, I'm sorry, we have to let you go, and that's because that's the way their contracts are set up.
Just frustration of mine.
Yeah, nature of the industry, unfortunately. You know, until someone like fucking like steps up and does something else, you're gonna see it all the time.
Now, the probably the biggest scandal in this space, I say scandal, but the Escapist, and they're not devs, but
they got fucked. Absolutely, dude, that was brutal.
Absolutely. And I really love
the Washington Post Gaming like cut like 80% of their staff. It's literally Gabe Park. I think I follow him on Twitter. He's like the only person like pretty much there.
Nice. But basically they fired the Escapist, which is a online magazine, you know, gaming video news.
British, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, punctuation. Zero punctuation.
Man. Love that fucking channel.
Yahtzee. Yeah. So that's probably their most known YouTube video thing. But anyways, the chief editor got fired, and basically the entire team quit. Like literally, like 30 people left with him, and they started their own thing. And now they've basically recouped everything that they lost.
It's in, like Jerry in a new company.
Yes.
Who's coming with me?
And and their channel is called Second Wind, I think. Yeah,
subscribe to them. They're fucking fun. I love your I love other content. I mean,
Yahtzee basically does his same show.
Brad isn't lying. Going independent might be the way to go. I mean, there's a lot of fear to it because, you know, there's multiple streams of income you have to account for, right? On social media, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Patreon, that type of stuff. But like, there's no stability in the industry. You know what I mean? It's just. No loyalty either. Yeah. All right. Now that we got the sad shit out of the way, thanks, Chris.
Sorry, man.
It sucks. No, it's 100%.
It's near and dear, man. It's just, you know, yep.
Let's talk about the least competitive sports game, or least repetitive sports game.
Oh, I was about to say.
Least competitive. I was like, I don't know.
Least competitive NHL.
Obviously.
Oh.
You guys quit playing. You guys quit playing that fucking game.
We played it the other day. It was fun. Yeah.
I still think Rocket League is probably my. I don't know, Rocket League's not considered a sports game, but it's car ball soccer, so fuck it. I still don't think. I think the skill ceiling still hasn't been reached. I think, like, you know, once again, it's only repetitive if you're not building up and your skill in the game. But yeah, to me, I love it. Do you guys have one? Brad's at NHL. Chris, you got one?
No, I agree with you. Rocket League. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things, like, you know, I took 6 months off, and I feel like I'm.
Did you feel low fucking diamond? Terrible, bro.
Yeah,
you feel like a plat. You're trying to go for an aerial, like, oh god, it's
not. I mean, you were there. I was missing, unless the ball was coming at me at 400 miles an hour.
Chris was fucking missing gimmies. I put that shit in front of the net. He's like, no, sir, you hit that harder.
Nope. Yeah, but then he launches that, man. I'm fine.
Fucking drops that bad bitch in. Brad, do you have an actual game you just want to say NHL just for shits and giggles? You don't play sports games, bro. Unless it's like MLB really the don't. Show for some random reason on like the lowest difficulty. I hit 700 home runs this game.
got a batting average of 850. Like,
just dingers, baby.
All right. Not sports manager. F1 manager. We'll go with that. I actually do like management sims.
Oh, no way. You know what? You have that personality. Kind of, that doesn't surprise me. Only shit.
So unfortunately, that's a little bit like I know nothing about Formula One racing. So it was a little bit out of my league on that one, but it was still fun regardless.
It wasn't repetitive just being the manager. It's like playing my GM. It's like, do you play anything else on NBA 2K? Just my GM, bro. I don't even play the games. We just sim that. I just want to run the office. I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Best video game adaptation. Mine's The Last of Us this year. I don't think anything else came close. I think Super Mario Brothers, great. Let's never mention Halo ever. I know.
I was going to say Halo. Dang.
I just saw the second season trailer for Halo, and why does it look worse than the first season? Like, I don't.
They got a second season.
Yeah, dude. It's the most watched. It was the most watched show, I think, on Paramount Plus. I watched the first season, and I was like, never again. No, because
it was the second most on Paramount. Like, I can't think of anything up there now. Either,
but all I'm saying is, like, when they showed Halo and they're like, yeah, man, it's a new timeline. They're calling it the Silver timeline. And they should really put that shit back because it's absolutely atrocious and I do not ever want to watch it again. It's so bad. I fucking hate it. And I saw, if you look up the second season, it looks like, we have better visuals now with some of the CG stuff and the assets than what they were using in that second season trailer. It was Brad, what's your best video game adaptation, buddy?
I didn't watch any, but Twisted Metal, just because Twisted Metal.
I keep saying this, man. Twisted Metal is really good. Anthony Mackie's fucking hilarious in it. So is Stephanie Beatriz. She played Rosa in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Love her. She's fantastic. Chris, I'm assuming it's Last of Us also.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Easy.
Barely.
Let's talk about the most surprising game. I'm gonna be honest. I think to me, I put down Lethal Company, but I really think it's the Outlast Trials. Like that, the quality of the Outlast Trials is insane for $40. I really thought that it was going to be like, you know, this kind of basic stuff, but there's a lot of depth to it, and like the developers have a really strong roadmap moving forward. I really like the fact that there's like different, you have like the set projects, right? And then you have like the certain like sub projects, and they're all like really varied, and they make the game super fucking hard and difficult. Like me and Brad were playing like that's a game you have to play with four people sometimes, because playing with two is a nightmare. Like it's like, dude, what is happening in this game? Then again, I saw a speed run of like Project X, and I was like, holy shit, dude, you play this game way too much. But yeah, they had to make a lot of balance tweaks changes, because like the screamer was just like getting a lot of people because it stunned you as it saw you. I was like, dude, fuck that. But that's my most surprising game. Brad, what do you got?
Lethal Company, I feel like would be the obvious choice, just because, you know, it's a very, the sus game where you like
Among Us.
Right. I feel like it was just something that was quickly created and was not supposed to be big, but you know, just
good quality,
absolutely exploded.
Yeah. Good quality.
But I'm probably going to say BattleBit.
It's a good one. Surprise. Like I remember when BattleBit first came out and people were like, this is what Battlefield 2042 should have been like, you fucks.
Like, it's just like, just how simple and, you know, obviously it's just roadblocks, but Battle Company, Battlefield. And it, you know, if you just want to go murder some bad guys, right, you just play some BattleBit.
I think the finals also, to me, just like the way, the quality of that, like Unreal Engine 5. Like, I know that there's like controversy with the AI voice actors. We're not going to get into that shit, I told Brad and Will this.
Smallest controversy of the year.
I told Brad and Willis, we were playing, I was like, dude, this is what Battlefield used to feel like. Very fast paced, destructibility, being able to like destroy almost every bit of the environment to kind of get toward the objective. Very fast, frenetic paced. They like, and we had certain complaints we had about Time to Kill, which they updated. And the movement is very fluid. There were things that we found out while playing that we were kind of shocked about how detailed the game was, like destroying like the zip lines and stuff like that. We're like, you can do this shit. You know, it's just one of those kind of out of the box first person tiles we were really impressed with. Chris, what's your most surprising game?
This may surprise you. Diablo 4 was actually my most surprising game for me this year.
Good or bad?
Good. Yes. Good and then bad. But we'll go off initial.
We're not going to talk about release. The $60 horse armor.
We're not going to talk about that.
Calm but down, when Bethesda.
when we talk about initial releases, as you know, I've played a lot of Diablo, thousands of hours. So it takes quite a bit for it to impress me and get to the level that I felt like I was back playing old school Diablo. And they did such a fantastic job of bringing back the gore. Bringing back the, I don't care, I'm gonna kill this kid, type thing. Literal kid, oh right? God. Like they did a very good job of bringing that darkness back. So I was, in that regard, I was very surprised.
Yeah, I
heard all about it, but
I had like I'd asked Chris multiple times. I was like, hey man, you gonna pick this up? And Chris was like, no man, I'm gonna wait. And then like a week later, he's like, so I got the gold edition, bro.
He waited until release.
Chris is like, there's two games. There's two games that I can always expect Chris to get. It's like if a new Diablo comes out, of course it's been 10 years, right? Almost a little longer than that. Since Diablo 3.
A little bit longer. A little bit longer than that, but yeah.
And then Assassin's Creed. Chris will always tell me, I'm not getting it, and he just picks it up anyway to play it.
I thought you were going to say Skyrim Edition, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if there's a new Skyrim Edition for like...
If it's Elder Scrolls, I'm picking it up.
Yeah. Elder Scrolls 6, whenever that comes out in 20 years. We'll...
Yeah, they can literally put that in a baggie filled with dog shit, and I'm like, I'll buy it. I don't care.
Oh yeah, brother, I could be
Give me
dragon.
That Skyrim. I don't care.
I am the Dragonborn. All right, let's talk about games that have gone missing in action. So I have one. I've been asking about this game forever. It's called Little Devil Inside. This game was announced, I think, 2 years ago. They showed the trailer for it. It looks awesome. You're kind of like this little character, this little hunter, like traversing all these different areas, hunting different animals, different like paranormal, supernatural enemies and entities. And I was like, this game looks fantastic. Should be, you know, it's being funded by Sony, so it should come out in like a year or so. That game has gone fucking missing. Like, no one's heard anything about it. People have been asking about it forever. They had like an update last year, I think. And then nothing this year. Like everyone thought, you know, June, you know, summertime, fall-ish, not a goddamn thing. So Little Devil Inside, dude, where are you? Like, let's get the milk carton out. Like, holy shit. I'm concerned. You know, I'm like the only person concerned about it. I know Chris didn't have anything for this. Brad, do you
I'm
have
give
any?
A,
oh, you have something?
I'm gonna give a preemptive Skull and Bones because it's gonna happen again.
You think? I don't know, man. I think Ubisoft's like, I think Singapore put a gun to the fucking head of Ubisoft. Was like, you better fucking release this game. I'm gonna say this. I think you all agree with me. Skull and Bones being $60 to $70, a full price title is probably not going to cut it. Like, if you look at they did an official gameplay trailer and a release date trailer. And they're not exactly like well received because people are like, what the fuck's going on? Why is this taking so long? I think the real question is, like, if this was free to play, absolutely. But you're trying to compete in the space with Sea of Thieves, which is still wildly popular. So I don't know who you're making that for. I just don't.
Yeah, make it free to play and then, you know, throw in your
I think boxes. Visually it looks good, man. I think it really does. Yeah. I think it looks visually fantastic. I think most Ubisoft games do.
Well, I don't like loot boxes. If your game is free to play, no one's making you buy those loot boxes. I don't really mind it.
Yeah.
But make it free to play.
Unless you have a cat with tinfoil on their head, like we do in the finals. I mean, I bought that bitch.
Conspiracy cat.
If I can spend $5 for a peg leg, then and you want to pay that, okay.
Yeah. But absolutely, I'll support that. But like, I assume because the game's been in development 10+ years. Right, you got to recoup some of the costs, but I'm like, you might have a better chance recouping it through microtransactions than you actually do in game sales. And this might be one of those games where it's going to be on sale within 30 days. I could see it. It's kind of be like, and somehow persist for like multiple seasons because they had just enough of an attach rate.
I can only imagine how much money they lost alone just in marketing.
Just on marketing, dude. They marketed so many different times. They're trying so hard to sell it.
I mean, it's got to be over 10 million.
My favorite thing is that they kind of pulled a Cyberpunk, a CD Projekt Red. Like, the game had gone gold, and then, like, they're like, hey, we delayed it. But, like, this one's like, hey, we have a release date, fucking fall. Yeah, we pushed that back. Like, it's not coming out till fucking, you know, till February. We're hoping it comes out this time. You're releasing it literally in, like, the busiest month of 2024.
Yeah.
Like, February has, like, what, 20 games coming out or something?
Is Rebirth coming out in February? I think it is.
It is.
In February?
It is. There's a bunch of games. You can look it up. There's a bunch.
What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you, like, you're killing your own game. You're doing it on purpose. You're trying to give it to the country of Singapore. Oh, yeah. I see what you're doing, Ubisoft. More power to you guys.
Whatever.
Oh, well, it did bad. It wasn't our fault. It was all the other games.
What do you mean it failed? This is our first time making a game, bro.
No way.
I guarantee you, I'm hoping that the game actually, like, reviews well. But still doesn't sell well. I can just kind of see it because people are going to write that game off completely. And then say, like, you got bought off, didn't you? I was like, dude, Ubisoft wants to pay me to review games. Ubisoft, we're here. Like, I'll stop shitting on you if you just pay me to review your games.
Yeah, I think most of the people who are going to actually be playing that have Ubisoft Connect.
Yeah, where's X Defiant? Where's Beyond Good and Evil 2? What the fuck, Ubisoft? They keep saying it's still in development. It's been.
Where's AC4 remastered?
Yeah. Hey, no. What is that thing, Chris?
The Division Resurgency.
Yeah. Or was it like the hometown Division
Homeland
game?
Homeland. Yeah.
Yeah. Homeland. Hey, Chris. What's the
where's
the
a good Far Cry?
Chris, what's the Hot Fuzz thing? No, not the Hot Fuzz. The Shaun of the Dead thing. Where he's like, it's been 5 years. When's he going home? They're waiting on for fucking. Skull and Bones, when's he going home?
It's a shame, really.
It is. Brad, is there a game that you think, you know, gone MIA, you're just like...
Avowed?
No, it's coming out next year.
Okay.
Oh, you want more information on it.
Yeah, 2024. That's...
I mean...
We have the general continent that it's on, right? Okay, that's cool, but still don't know where it's at.
We have hit the trees. I don't know what tree or what side of the country it's on. So like with Xbox, I'm still fucking frustrated, dude. Like, and I understand that when they went through their mass acquisition phase, that it was going to take between 3 to 5 years for games to actually start being seen. But Hellblade 2 took a long fucking time. Right? 2024, we're how many years in now over the Series X? Like, so that came out 2020-ish. So we're like, fuck it, we're almost 3 to 4 years in, and you guys haven't had like a major exclusive game except for Halo Infinite, which shit the fucking bed on release. So you have Hellblade 2 coming out. Avowed should be coming out. They showed a trailer for Fable, but no release date. I assume 2025 at the earliest. If it comes out next year, I'll be fucking shocked. Just being honest. Yeah, there's just a lot.
6.
Yeah, dude. That's good old fucking Todd Howard being like, hey, man, we showed a trailer.
That's coming out in the next generation of consoles.
And the next two generations of consoles.
Right. We're going to have computers in our brains.
Yeah, buckle up. I'm going to be fucking 50 when that game comes out. Be like, you guys see the new Elder Scrolls? Chris is like, just we're wheeling them up. Like, put it in me. Put it in my brain.
I remember when Skyrim. I know, Grandpa.
I get it, Grandpa. Shut up. We know you're playing Skyrim on your cane. Hell yeah. I am the Dovahkiin.
Chris dies the day they announce.
Oh, dude. Elder Scrolls 7. We resuscitate. We like put his head in a little fucking jar like in Futurama. We resuscitate him. He's like, don't worry about it, boys. Just give me the fish
food. I have a DNR, but with a caveat. If it comes out within the calendar year, try to keep me alive.
Yeah, keep me alive. I don't care if I can't move my limbs. Just... But Grandpa, you're in so much pain. Fuck that. I'll do it for Elder Scrolls 6. He's cured. He can walk again. I can.
It's a miracle.
Dude, they would put Chris on every fucking commercial. Todd Howard's like, you see what miracles I've done?
It just works.
It just works, baby. Okay. Games we play that somehow still exist. So, somehow... Chris and Brad got me back in a Rogue Company. I know that people are probably like, Rogue Company still exists. People are like, what the fuck is Rogue Company? Yeah, that game still exists. It was a third-person shooter by Hi-Rez Studios. Honestly, it's a quality shooter. It's not bad.
I was actually just reading something about it. They actually shut down the Switch version.
Oh, okay. I was about to have a heart attack, bro. Like, relax.
They shut that down in August or July.
That's like someone announcing they shut down the 3DS version of something.
the Kinect version.
Yeah. Who cares, man? I think that Rogue Company, if you play it still, congratulations, you're one of the 13 people like us. Just change it. Just like
getting smoked by people who never stopped playing it.
Stopped playing it upon release. I think another game is Fall Guys. I hate to be that guy to Mediatonic. I love Fall Guys. I think here's the thing. Fall Guys is a game that shouldn't have worked.
Headbangers.
Yep, headbangers. But like, here's the thing. Fall Guys should not have worked. Tell me I'm wrong. You made this game show, you know, and you have these fantastically designed courses. They shouldn't have worked at all.
I'm trying to remember what came out around that time, but there was a lot of kids stuff that was kind of coming out around there. I know Roblox was in its peak.
Well, Squid Games did come out also, I think, around the same time, I think. But like, Fall Guys was wildly successful, shockingly, but it's also owned by Epic now, I think. So
because it was free.
Like Rocket League, it's probably going to be dead soon because that's how Epic fucking games rolls. Is there any other games you guys still play that no one else knows exists? Brad?
I'm trying to think of like
you are that guy. Game.
Nothing that somehow, I would say somehow still exists. And I don't want to say it's a single player game. Power Wash Simulator. They keep updating that shit, man.
Is that I think because, you know, in terms of like, you know, you're not playing that game for high visual quality, obviously. You know, you're not playing that game, you know, for the narrative. You know what I mean? But there's a multiplayer aspect of it. You can get four people together and just start washing shit. Dude, like how any simulator game sells so much, like Farming Simulator, I just don't understand. Like Bus Stop Simulator. Like, I don't understand how they work, but they do. And shout out to the people who still play those games today, right? You're fucking weird.
Power Wash Simulator. I'll go back and I'll play every once in a while. So it's in my
still. I mean, I call people weird, but we still play Rogue Company. So I mean, that's even weirder. You were like,
I'm trying to remember what it was. I was doing something on my PlayStation. I was going through like the sales, like the Black Friday sales or whatever. And my wife saw Power Wash Simulator. And she's like, who in the heck would play that? And I was like, Chris has like completed it like four times. Chris, he's literally washed the entire earth.
And Jack.
Well, Jack has done it co-op.
Jack's obsessed with the game too. He'd be like, oh, we can play that.
Mine is like, I throw on a movie or like a comedy, stand-up comedy special or something like that. And then I just...
Yeah, instead of being a productive member of society or even his household, he'd rather play Power Wash Simulator.
Absolutely, yeah.
Chris, the dogs need you. You're still married. I gotta wash this truck real quick. Them tires, they're dirty.
I can't take it off. It's too tight.
I know. But... take the house. Leave Power Wash with me. Okay.
You can have it.
Let's move on. Let's talk about the best publisher of the year. My opinion, Nintendo. Throwing that out there. Come on now. Tears of the Kingdom, Pikmin 4. Somehow Pikmin got a fucking other sequel. I just don't get it. Super Mario RPG, Super Mario Brothers Wonder. They had a fucking great year again. And I've told people this before. I've said this before in the podcast. Every other year, Nintendo has like this crazy plan. So what they do is that they release like... They'll have like a year where they release 2 to 3 big games, right? And then they'll have another year where they'll have like a month and they'll start like in June or May. And they'll have like a game a month come out. And they're the only publisher that does it. And obviously it's, you know, because the Switch hardware is not exactly strong, okay? You're talking 7-year-old hardware here. But Nintendo nails it. And I don't think there's another publisher right now that is better at, you know, keeping their fan base happy, even though people want Metroid, you know, Prime 4, so which will come out fucking, who knows, maybe next year. If that comes out next year, then, oh my God. Because GTA 5 is not coming out for 2 years, so Metroid Prime 4 might win it just based off name alone. Brad, do you have a best publisher? Is it fantastic? No, and, hey, they did us a favor. They shut down, so they're probably like them.
I think they were just the devs. I don't think they were the publisher. I think the publisher.
Developers might of be the wrong, year. Though.
Well, obviously, it's Square Enix, but that's just because, you know, Square.
You know, I have like a beef with Square Enix sometimes because they'll have like, dude, they'll have a year where they put out some really good games, and then they'll put up Valkyrie Profile.
Their publishing is weird. I don't know where they come up with some of their... They're like, you know what? We're going to publish your game.
Like, what did they put out last year, dude? They put out like 5 games last year. It was like Harvestella. That one fucking really awkward, like, strategy game. They had the Valkyrie. They ruined Valkyrie Profile's return. Like, it was insane. And then, like...
Well, they had that, like, copycat of the Mario Odyssey.
Yeah. Oh, Balan's like, Wonderland.
First off, that's
a fucking masterpiece, dude. Worst game. Like, that was the worst game of the year, but it was a masterpiece to me. I loved it. It's so fucking weird that, like, Square Enix, like, will go for, like, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth or some shit, and then it's, like, Balan's Wonderland. Like, what are we doing here? And then, like, because Vision of Mana, like, when they showed the trailer, I was like, that's a fucking fantastic-looking game. You know, I want more of that. That, I don't know, man. It's weird.
Yeah, I mean, because Nintendo's Nintendo. They're
they don't fucking fail, bro.
That they are.
Nintendo will have one dud. They'll have like one dud, one game you'll probably never talk about, forget about, and then it's like just a bunch of bangers. They had 2 Game of the Year noms, like in the fucking what? No one else does that but them.
Obviously, my favorite, other than Square, would probably be Devolver Digital, okay. But that's just. That's just a personal opinion.
They put out Gunbrella, man. That game's great.
They just put out like quality, like indie feeling games.
It's great because like I'm so glad that there's a consistent publisher that always worries about like indie titles and they always put out good indie games, and I think that's them. Perfect. Chris, you said Nintendo too, right? Best publisher.
Yeah, Nintendo. I mean, I would love to say Square, but Nintendo just monetarily. They're still hiring people. You got all these other companies who are just laying people off, and they're still hiring people.
Well, Nintendo knows they need to make that Switch too. Yeah. Or the Switch OLED too. That'd be fucked. It's just the second OLED screen. We want to make it brighter. Just to piss Brad off. Still got a 720p dock, guys. I don't
know. they do a second screen and they call it the Switch 3D. Two screens at the phone on top of each other. They
specifically call out Brad, like, we had this Twitter user, Willy Chip, fuck this guy. He gave us the idea. We're going to throw a screen over it. Now it's the Switch 3D. God damn it.
And you strap it to your face and it, like, it's crazy.
It's amazing. You can now play Marvel. Like
It's just Velcro straps, though. It's not like an actual.
What was that old peripheral you could put on your Game Boy, and it like you could like snap it down, and like was like a magnifying glass.
Oh, dude, that was back in the day, man. Holy shit! Yeah. I used to do that for like Tetris and stuff.
Like a tactical Game Boy.
Oh, yes. With the light. Yep.
Get the Velcro on the bitch. Like, don't worry about it. We're just playing at night.
Oh man.
All right, so this one's for Brad. It's not Baldur's Gate 3 Game of the Year because to Brad. BG3 like
there were other games this year?
There were other games that came out. One game he put in like almost 1,000 hours in. For me, it's Alan Wake 2, right? And I mean, there's like, I have like a top five list, but I think Alan Wake 2 for me like blew my fucking mind. Like, I just so happy for that game. The quality is so good. We're going to skip Brad. Chris, what's your not Baldur's Gate 3 Game of the Year?
Same thing, Alan Wake 2. I was so proud of them. And their company, right? And what they were able to achieve.
Remedy fucking nailed it, man. Shocking.
Dude, Remedy won so many more. And not to attack them or make anybody feel bad or anything like that. But the fact that they won as much as they did, I was honestly surprised.
I know, right? Spider-Man 2 didn't get anything. My favorite thing on Reddit is like the little, and on TikTok, is like the little war that's happening with like Spider-Man 2 and like Baldur's Gate 3. Like, I never heard of BG3. I'm like, yes, you fucking have, bro. Yeah. Everyone has heard of Baldur's Gate 3, big dog. That shit is still being played. 240,000 people, whatever, still being played.
I mean, you heard me, man. I was hyped when they were winning those awards. Like, yeah. I'm so happy for him, man.
It's a big fucking
deal. It's well-deserved.
Big deal.
Yeah, it's well-deserved.
Brad, if there was a game outside of Baldur's Gate 3... What would you say is that game of the
year? I'm going to say outside of Final Fantasy 16 as well, because that's obviously my second. Remnant 2. I actually really enjoyed that.
It's a really good game. If you have not played Remnant 2, it's fantastic. It's on Xbox Game Pass. I highly recommend you play it. That new DLC come out. I really want to get back into it because I love the co-op to it. It's so much fun. Beat that shit on like hard difficulty. Lost my mind solo. All right. So let's talk about the two early predictions. Last thing for Game of the Year 2024. So let's kind of like talk about the games that are going to release. Some of them we do know. Like, we know Hellblade 2 is coming out, right? That to me is like going to be my Game of the Year. We know Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth is coming out. That's probably going to be Brad's Game of the Year.
It depends. If they pull some shenanigans like they did on the first episode, it may or may not.
He's so sensitive about like his. He doesn't understand that. It says it's a remake, bro. It's a retelling of the story.
I am totally okay with some changes, but like they went like Kingdom Hearts level stuff in there.
Kingdom Hearts level shit. I swear. We don't fuck with time.
Harbinger of Fate.
Yeah, I think there's. I mean, this should be a big year for Xbox. I don't know what Sony's having. Like out honestly, and because GTA 5 is in 2025, I honestly think like I'm dead ass there. Right? Once GTA 5 comes out, or 6 comes out, I'm sorry, like that's gonna be Game of the Year for 2025. Like, just wrap that shit up, man. I'm sorry, but for next year, I think Hellblade 2 should have a good chance. But I will say this: I am concerned about the combat still. How the fuck have they had so long, and the combat still looks like very. Like slow and clunky in the trailer. Like visually it looked amazing. Chris, you were telling the truth when we were talking about it. But like the combat, I was like, is it supposed to be slow like that? Is it supposed to like
I mean it was kind of slow in the first one.
Yeah, but that's why I wasn't a fan of the combat in the first one either. Yeah. Like I'd
be very surprised if they changed that style. Probably add to it.
Yeah.
But I'd be very surprised if they changed it.
It just doesn't look as like appealing as I thought. Like, you could up. I mean, because here's the thing, Ninja Theory, they've been around forever. They haven't really had like a monster hit game. They had like an exclusive PS3 title in Heavenly Sword. They had Odyssey, Journey to the West, really good games, but the combat in each of those games were like not great for some reason. And then Hellblade came out, and I was like, great story, beautiful visuals, great voice acting. The combat was like blah, just mid.
I mean, if you think, if you really think back to like the old Uncharted's,
yeah,
the combat was pretty bland.
Yeah, but like
the story was just so amazing. Yeah, that...
But the combat got better. You know what I mean?
It did. It did get better.
Like you have, you've had like what, 8 years to develop your sequel? Like that combat has to be on point. Because yeah, I don't want you. I don't want you to be a tech demo for fucking Unreal Engine 5, because that's essentially what you are at this point. Yeah, right.
I think it will be better, especially compared to the first one. Yeah. But I do think it's going to maintain a lot of what got them there.
Yeah, so. I am interested though in seeing how Rebirth does, because it's the first, I think, two Blu-ray disc game, right?
Crazy.
Crazy, obviously, because we have Call of Duty like 200, like 150 gigs or whatever. But
watching, because they can't compress for shit.
Seeing some of the previews for Rebirth, seeing like, you know, certain content creators who've actually played like a couple hours of it, they're, it's all glowing reviews. They're like, dude, like the way they have like the subtle nuances in combat when you're going in and out of combat, and like the way the music constantly shifts perfectly, that type of stuff. The way the world's kind of seamless. Obviously, Red 13 riding a chocobo should be like an instant day one buy for anybody. Yeah, I mean, he looks fucking funny, right? He's a cat. Yeah, I really think it should be like a toss up, unless Metroid Prime 4 comes out, which, if Nintendo does do that, which from what I've been told, from what I've seen and the things I've read, that the holdup's like the cutscenes. If it does release next year, I expect Metroid Prime 4 to be like one of the main contenders for Game of the Year. Because Nintendo games, dude, first-party Nintendo games for major franchises, they're always, like, in the 90s for Metacritic. And they're going to get criticized like shit because Tears of the Kingdom only won, like, one action-adventure game. But honestly, it was going up against Baldur's Gate 3. But Tears of the Kingdom was going to be second no matter what, right? That's two generational games. I'm trying to think. I think Avowed might have a shot, too, because I because me and Brad love Obsidian.
If it releases.
If it releases in 2024. But, like, they, I mean, they put the date out, right? They said that. I think Dragon's Dogma 2 has a good chance as well.
That was going to be my mention.
Because Capcom Dragon's is... Dogma. Like I think that's the updated engine, too, by the way, Chris, for the new RE engine.
Dragon's Dogma, that's... I want... Is that on PlayStation Plus right now?
I think it is.
One of the free games?
Yeah,
I think
it is. It recently... Dark Arisen.
Yeah, Dark Arisen. It's like, it just, you gotta bear in mind it's old. Like,
yeah, of course.
And Brad is putting like 100 hours in that game already. Holy shit.
Good. It's a good game.
I was like booting it up. I was like, why does Brad have so many fucking hours in this game, dude?
Like, it's the dungeon crawler if you want a dungeon crawl. Like, yeah. Like the story is very
basic.
You're the chosen one, go, you know, defeat the dragon. But it's just like, there's just a lot of, you find
it,
you know, weapons.
It and feels like, and things. This sounds kind of weird, it feels like a single player Monster Hunter game, like where that's okay. More like a seamless, yeah, world type deal, right? Okay. Very reminiscent of like a lot of Capcom's older stuff, but like the way Dragon's Dogma 2 looks like fantastic. There were some people who are like, oh, I think the visuals look too close to Dragon's Dogma. I'm like, bro, are you looking at the fidelity of these fucking visuals right now? Because you might be high. I think that's it for like confirmed, but I'm thinking
Vampire the Masquerade.
I don't know, dude.
I think
I don't know, man. They put out every game but fucking Vampire the Masquerade 2. You know what I mean? Christ.
Yeah, Luigi's Mansion 2 HD.
Dude, if there's a Luigi's Mansion 4, I'll fucking lose my mind, dude. Don't do that, because Nintendo's going to pull some shit like in January and they're gonna be like, all right, guys, check it out. Here's all the games that are coming out this year.
In another one, it's not going to win Game of the Year, but let me look. I'm trying to find if I can. There was mention of Greedfall 2 being released next year, and I think that was one of the
Greedfall is a very good game.
Yeah, very, I think, underrated. That was one of the dark horses when that came out. Like, no one talked about it, but
very underrated. I mean, the problem with like Spiders, like the developer, is that you can tell that like they're very limited in terms of budget, but like their writing has gotten better like every game they've made. Like, in Greedfall was kind of like that culmination where the writing was really good, but like the gameplay was clunky. There's a game back in the day by Obsidian, it was called Alpha Protocol. I don't know if anyone's ever remembered that one. But think of like Splinter Cell, but with like a fucking more in-depth story and narrative choices that matter. That's essentially what Alpha Protocol was. And I fucking loved that game, but it was so jank at times. It just like took away from it. Chris, Metal Gear Solid fucking 3 Delta, or the new remake, could be really good, or Konami's going to fuck it up. Silent Hill 2 also potentially next year, but it's Bluebird Team, and I'm not a fan of like their some of their games. They could potentially fuck that up. And then obviously my dark horse is going to be Space Marine 2, because fuck, man. I'm so mad that they're like, hey man, it should come out in 2023. We don't know the time frame. They're like, all right, cool. I'm thinking like, all right, March, April, September. I'm like, what the fuck just happened, dude? Like, what? When did we get a year off, man? Helldivers 2. That's good, dude.
That looks fun. I know my game of the year, but that looks fun.
You would be surprised. Helldivers 1 was pretty well received, but yeah. I think Helldivers 2 might be like massive.
Honestly, with you, but that might be one of the like most, I'm not gonna say most improved, but like the biggest change from 1 to 2.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, perspective wise, right? Like, just change, going from like a top down isometric view to a third person view is fucking insane to me. I've been talking a lot about the fucking anticipate. Brad, do you have any other games you want to talk about? Not Foam Stars, which I've heard is fun.
I think we've talked about most of them.
Chris, do you look up any games for 2024?
Suicide Squad.
I mean, as far as like game of the year 2024, I mean, as far as what I know, I feel like I kind of have to give it to Final Fantasy. That's just, you know, my opinion on it. You know, it is one of those 80-hour epics. You know, it's not for everybody.
I'm hoping they make, like, you know, I'm hoping they go all batshit crazy just to fucking piss off Brad.
So
Brad,
oh, like, right.
Excuse me?
Spoilers.
Why is 30... Aerith still alive?
Yeah, Aerith catches the sword and stabs Sephiroth instead.
Kills him, becomes Sephiroth. Like,
just catches it one-handed and just jabs it in his face.
Gives him like a fucking one-liner, not today. wrong timeline. And then it becomes Ever Crisis tie-in. Oh, man.
All
right.
And then Dissidia, like all of the characters. Then there's this like Colosseum in the sky, and then all the characters from all the Final Fantasy just start fighting each other.
Dissidia was such a fucking nightmare.
It's compared to next year almost seems boring. Like compared to this year.
This was a great year, dude. And like hopefully here's what I want to happen soon, and this will be like the last thing we talk about. I kind of want like Sony and Nintendo and Microsoft to kind of like at either in the next couple of weeks or like next month, like show us a roadmap of what you got coming out. Like show us, because I know Sony has like Rise of the Ronin. And that's it. Like that's all they got coming out for like 2024 that we know about. I think
that's all they need.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I can see Spider-Man 2 winning best DLC.
Yeah. They could have DLC that comes out next year. That. But like but Sony, I don't think Sony has anything coming out outside of like Helldivers 2 and a couple others. So we'll see.
First Descendant.
Yeah. Oh yeah. What the fuck is? Oh, he's shut the fuck up, right?
It's. I don't. When I watched that trailer, because we were all like, oh, it's Death Stranding 2, and then
Death Stranding 2 that comes out next year. That might be game of the year. What did you say?
Yeah.
What did you say?
Probably, you know,
damn it doesn't have Jordan Peele in it, but okay. As I tried to fuck that up with the game awards, but you know, still good.
You know damn well that if you haven't played the first Death Stranding, which I've only played through about half of that, the second one isn't going to make any more sense to you.
No, I don't even know what's happening. Listen, I beat the game 3 times. I don't know what's happening. I just don't get to zipline. Like, that's cool shit.
I recently re-downloaded the game on my PS5, and I was playing it with my wife in the room. And she's like, oh, that's Norman Reedus. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty much all I know about the game. Like, I don't know what that.
I get to do. I'm telling you, man, there's something. There's a baby. Here's the thing. There's something addicting, like, about the traversal in that game and kind of using it as, like, a puzzle constantly. But the thing is, in typical Kojima fashion, when you get to the end of it, it goes off the rails action. Like, you get, like, a machine gun. You're like, just start killing shit. You're not afraid of anything anymore. Yeah, just throwing like blood grenades and everything. Fuck them. That's essentially what it becomes, dude.
I do love blood grenades.
Exactly. All right. I think we've talked enough. Holy shit, this is a long episode, but it's pretty much our end of the year episode. Who cares? I got no plans for the next Pixelated Thoughts. We'll probably talk about like in the next year because, you know, Jack and Cheap are going to do like their own side thing. Who cares? Who cares? Chris, you have any closing thoughts? I want to thank you for coming on, by the way. Thanks for coming on such short notice, man. You know, there's been something moving behind you in the darkness this entire time. It's been scaring the shit out of me, so I'm just trying to look away.
So my daughter got me one of those, those like Andromeda space things.
Yeah.
That's a little glow thing, and it lights up. That's probably what you've been seeing. Talking about the red thing.
Yeah, it's the devil, probably.
that thing there, yeah. Red thing.
It's going to get him.
That's the...
It's going to get him.
Little space thing. I love No closing thoughts, really. I mean, we talked a lot. Thanks for listening to me rant about the employees being laid off.
Thanks for making this.
Absolutely.
Got hairy legs.
Brad, no, don't play it, dude. We cannot. Brad, do you have any closing thoughts?
No, that was a pretty comprehensive conversation. Yeah,
I know what his closing thought is. Square Enix, don't you mess up Rebirth for Brad.
Just like, I'm okay with some changes or, you know, some like some curveballs, but, you know,
let's ease up,
dude. If anyone other than Goofy pops out of a portal, I'm gonna be upset. Okay?
Very upset. All right, that's gonna do it for this episode of Pixelated Thoughts. I'm Ken, that's Brad, and Chris is the guy below us. You'll see him right there. Please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe, and we'll talk to you next time.